Non-Monogamy Help is a podcast where your questions about open, non-monogamous or polyamorous relationships are answered. Our host, Lola Phoenix, will consult a licensed therapist with over a decade of experience to address your problems. Names and locations have been changed or censored to keep your questions anonymous. You're listening to Non-Monogamy Help, the podcast.
To episode 42 of the Non-Monogamy Help podcast. I'm Lola Phoenix. Please send your questions to nonmonogamyhelp@gmail.com and they'll either be read in the podcast or the column anonymously. You're more than happy to specify which. If you want to read the columns and listen to the rest of the podcast, you can go to nonmonogamyhelp.com. And I also have a newsletter where you can get stuff in your inbox if you can't and don't want to follow us on social media. That's at go.nonmonogamyhelp.com/email. And we are on Twitter at nonmonogamyhelp. If you would like to support the columns and the podcast, it would be amazing if you would become a patron. Even $1 a month helps support the daily running of the columns and the podcast. And it just shows a general vote of support even. You can do that by going to patreon.com/LolaPhoenix. And if you donate $5 or more a month, your name, with your permission, will be read at the end of the podcast. Let's get to this week's discussion question. If this is the first time you're hearing this, every week before I read the letter, I put forth a discussion question that you can use with your friends, partners, or anyone else to get to know them a little bit more. I also would answer it myself briefly to give you a bit of context, but I try to be very concise. This week's discussion question is, what do you most regret so far? And this is a very interesting and deep question, I think, a little bit more deep than some of the other discussion questions that we have. I am the kind of person where I feel like regret is... I have a funny relationship with regret. I kind of feel like regret almost seems like if I could do it over, I wouldn't do it. But I do kind of think that sometimes some of the mistakes that I've made have really been things that needed to happen for me to learn. Obviously, I don't like the mistakes that I've made that have hurt other people because I have made those mistakes. I think most of all, thinking about it now and thinking about some of the more recent mistakes that I've made, I think that there are kind of two things that I don't necessarily regret, but that I wish I could have recognized sooner. And the first one of those is that just because I am a person that is on the asexual spectrum or feels very much like I am not as experienced as other people my age, or that I got into things a lot later in life than most people did, I believed that because sex as a topic made me so uncomfortable, that I was always going to be the most uncomfortable person in the room, and that I was always going to have to push myself to get to other people's level of comfort in order to, you know, be cool. And I wish that I would have learned earlier that I'm not the only one who's uncomfortable in the room, and actually my pushing myself to try and be cool and trying to be okay with things led to me ignoring obvious signs that I was uncomfortable with the situation, and also believing that other people couldn't be uncomfortable. And the result of that was that I ended up pressuring someone into, you know, thinking that they had to have sex with me in a situation when, you know, I didn't mean that, obviously. And if I would have just thought that, hey, you know, not everyone is cool as a cucumber and you're the only one that's freaked out, and you don't have to pretend to be okay with everything, and you don't have to push yourself to be okay, you can listen to some of your boundaries. And, you know, if I had done that earlier, then I think that, you know, I would have avoided hurting that person. And I'm still really sorry for the fact that I hurt that person, and I don't know if that person will ever forgive me. But if I would have learned that earlier, I think that I could have avoided that. Even though it was important for me to learn that lesson, I would have appreciated learning it in a different way. I think that another thing that I wished I would have learned differently was that I don't always have to gravitate. Let's see, what's the right way to say it? Just because I've known someone for a long time doesn't mean that they're safer for me. And I think that's been a very hard thing that I've been trying to learn recently, is that I just assume that people that I have been in friendships you know, even friendships, not even necessarily just relationships, but I just assume that people that I've known for longer are automatically safer for me, are automatically fit to be close to me or fit to be in more of an intimate relationship with me. And that isn't always true. And I think what I've done in the past is I have, in times when I've lost connections or I've lost friends or I've lost something, I've kind of basically just taken the next person that I know and try and basically promote them to a different level of friendship without them knowing and without them really agreeing to that. And I guess I wish that I could have understood that it's okay for me to feel a little scared around new people. It's okay that new people take a bit more energy out of me, and that, you know, just because I feel safer around somebody doesn't mean that they're going to treat me nicer. And there are probably a lot of people who are new and maybe are a bit scary who are safer than people who are maybe I'm more familiar with but don't necessarily have my best interests at heart. So yeah, bit of a heavier discussion topic for this week, but I think it's important. And I wouldn't necessarily say that I regret, because I don't know, I don't like the word regret. I feel like it's a word that, you know, I don't like the mistakes that I've made that have resulted in people feeling pain, and I would never want to do that again. But at the same time, you know, I did do it, it did happen, and there's nothing I can do to change that. And I think if I regret anything, it's the fact that they feel pain, and I don't want other people to feel pain. So that's kind of what I regret. But those are kind of the things that I wish that I would have learned earlier, so that those situations would have been a lot different. So yeah, again, let me repeat the discussion topic. It's what do you most regret so far? So yeah, let's get to this week's letter. I'm in a tough situation and would love your input. I've been in a relationship with my wife for 10 years. We've been open for 7, married for 5. I'll say that aside from sexual intimacy, my life with my wife is beautiful. We have adventures, we have amazing friends, we travel, and we have shared goals. She's struggled with depression off and on, and the most recent time lasted 3 years. It's been challenging, and I've supported her through all of it. When we get together, I don't know that for my own fulfillment, I'm absolutely needed to prioritize sexual compatibility. To be happy, I need to feel sexually valued and desired by a partner. A strong, ongoing sexual connection is a cornerstone of a romantic relationship for me. When we started dating, we had a pretty good sexual connection for about 3 months, but then her interest in sex began waning. Since then, she's generally rejected me when I've attempted sexual intimacy. She's avoided flirting with me so as not to lead me on, but when I've come right out and asked whether she's attracted to me, she always says she says she is. I've asked if she would prefer we take sex off the table in our relationship, and she got angry and said no. I've also read a lot on Aven. For those who don't know, Aven is an asexual website. And asked if she's noticed anything on the site that resonates with her, and I told her I would love and support her however she identifies. She got angry with me when I asked and said no. In the times that we have been sexually intimate, it hasn't been very fulfilling for me, because it felt disconnected and she didn't seem present. For the most part, she has had no passion, no zeal. She's even fallen asleep during sex on 3 or 4 different occasions. For a while, I thought something was wrong with me. After almost 10 years of continual rejection, my self-esteem was shredded and my sexual well-being was impacted in a lot of ways. I'm now working to heal those wounds with a sex-positive therapist. Because I was young, naive, and in love with her, I always made excuses, expecting things to change. I would tell myself things will be better when X, Y, or Z happens, name any and all external factors here. I tried a lot of different things to fix it, but I've tried to tread lightly because the last thing I wanted was to make her feel pressured or inadequate. Over the 7 years that our relationship has been open, my wife and I have had multiple connections with others, and it's always been a really fun and positive element of our relationship. In fact, she always said that she thought it was hot when I had sexual encounters with other people. It was fun for me, and I felt sexual validation from my other sex partners, but I found that I still felt empty and unhappy because my connections were casual rather than the sustained sexual romantic bond that I need to be happy. My wife and I never defined ourselves as polyam, and we have never gone as far as to have girlfriends or other committed romantic relationships. We've had connections that have felt more romantic than platonic, but we've always said that our connections would be based more on friendship and sex rather than romance and love. A year and a half ago, I met someone who I have an incredible life-changing connection with. I'll call her A. In the time that I've known her, I felt more happy and fulfilled than I have in almost 10 years. Several months ago, my wife started seeing a therapist to work through her sexual and mental health blocks. I've been supportive of her the whole way. She's now in the process of rediscovering her sexuality and is asking me to end things with A so that we can work on our non-existent sexual connection. She says that it's incredibly painful for her when I spend time with A because it triggers her feelings of inadequacy and she couldn't give me what I needed, so she feels that I replaced her with A. My wife and I are seeing a polyam, queer, sex-friendly therapist together, and even still the therapy isn't helping, and my wife is devastated every time I do so much as go to lunch with A. I don't want to hurt her and I don't want to destroy our marriage, but she says she's distraught and can't live like this anymore. I want to be a good partner and continue to support her, and I suppose being a good partner means ending things with A, but just the thought of it makes my stomach churn. It's so hard to lose someone so important to me, and I can't string A along like this, and she doesn't deserve to be treated as disposable. My wife is upset that I'm hesitating to end things with A, and she's telling me that if our marriage was my priority, I'd do it. I've developed strong feelings for A, which is not actually allowed in our version of non-monogamy, but I want it to be, and I want the opportunity to expand this into this connection. Despite developing feelings, I've continued to respect my wife's boundaries to help her feel comfortable with A. I've complied with the rules that she's laid out over these past 18 months. A is well aware of all the boundaries as well. The thing is, a sexual connection with my wife is not there, and I don't know that it ever will be. When we are intimate, it is not pleasurable for me, and in fact makes me feel a little uncomfortable, like being intimate with a family member. I don't know whether or not this can be fixed. I hope that it can. I just don't see a way out. Not one where I can be happy anyway. If I lose A, then I'll go back to living the way I was before, content enough but never fulfilled, because it means abandoning a big part of myself. If I don't end it, I'll devastate my wife, injure our relationship beyond repair, and likely lose my marriage and the entire beautiful life we've built together. The rules I've complied with have included seeing A a limited number of times per month, a curfew when I do see her, texting my wife every couple of hours, including each time I move from one location to the other when I'm with A, and setting up times for the three of us to hang out. For a time, I couldn't spend money or go out for meals with A, so A and I would watch movies or play board games at her apartment. But then my wife changed her mind and asked me not to hang out at A's apartment, but neither of these last two rules are in place anymore. To further demonstrate to my wife that she's my priority, A and I paused for 5 months last spring. A was understanding, but it didn't help my wife, and it only hurt A and me. My wife has an intense connection with someone I'll call H. They had and still have a close, special bond, but then my wife de-escalated their relationship to a platonic friendship when we moved out of state 4 years ago. At the time, she told me it was because she wasn't feeling it anymore. Now she's revealed that it was incredibly difficult and painful for her to end things with H, and that she only did it to prioritize me. I was going through a rough time with the loss of a friend. I never asked her to do this, and I never would have. Last weekend, we were all at a wedding together, and my wife expressed an interest in reconnecting sexually with H again. I gave her my blessing because I truly do want this for her, but when I bring up A, my wife tells me that she can have this with H because it's A is a different situation.
Before I get to this week's answer, I'm going to quickly plug this episode's sponsor, BetterHelp. Quite often in a lot of my columns and podcasts, I encourage people to seek a polyamory-friendly therapist. For a lot of people, looking locally for a therapist who might be supportive of polyamory can be impossible or out of their budget. BetterHelp allows you to find a therapist online that you can send messages to at any time of day, and it does offer some financial aid for people who may not find traditional therapy affordable, and I've been assured through their clinical team that there are polyamory-friendly therapists on the platform, so you might have to ask for that, but they do have it. So if you want to get 10% off your first month, you can use the promo code nonmonogamyhelp, or you can go to betterhelp.com/nonmonogamyhelp. And now we'll get to this week's answer.
So this is an incredibly unfair situation. That's my first comment about this. Like, it's so massively unfair in so many different ways. Like, when you first started describing what was happening and you started saying about, you know, how you basically haven't been sexually compatible, and that's the truth of it, you're not sexually compatible, whether it's due to reasons that, you know, your wife needs to work through things, or it's due to her being naturally the way she is, which you've also been really, really supportive of, you just aren't sexually compatible, and you've tried your best to, to work through this, and yet it's never enough. And then you add this bit at the end where you've complied with rules about, you know, you can only see her a certain number of times per month, and you have a curfew that you're texting her when you're moving from location to location, like, and then you're not allowed to spend money together, and then you're not allowed to hang out at the apartment, and then you're not allowed this, you're not allowed that. You know what? Why don't, instead of demonstrating that your wife is a priority, demonstrate that you are a priority to yourself. You are allowed to be happy, and you are bending over backwards in all of these situations to make your wife happy, and you're doing it sacrificing your own happiness, and it's also impacting A. Like, as you said, A is not disposable, and she shouldn't be treated like she's disposable. And given the fact that, you know, you mentioned this side relationship with H, like, if anything, well, first of all, she lies to you, and for the like, she can't even honestly communicate about it because she knows that she's making this decision. And I mean, it's just wild. Like, I don't even have the words to, she sacrifices something for you without telling you, without you requesting it, and then expects you to do the same when you never talked about it or agreed on it. And the result is that it, you know, you are being hurt and A is being hurt. She should know exactly how it feels to just give up a relationship and throw it out the window, but she doesn't care because it's all about prioritizing the marriage and prioritizing you two and prioritizing her. What about prioritizing yourself? Like, you know, you've given up so much in this relationship to try and make her happy. And it's not even about the sex anymore. Like, here's the thing. Like, if you had come to me to ask for advice about rules and starting off, I would have told you to stay the hell away from rules that say, I won't fall in love with somebody, because I don't think that's realistic. So it already kind of got off on the wrong foot, but it has now become something where you're just literally not allowed to have anything that makes your wife feel slightly uncomfortable. And unfortunately, sometimes things make people feel uncomfortable, and I can understand why that freaks people out, but she's just kind of like dictating what you're allowed to do with other people. Now you can't even talk about A. You can't even go out to lunch with A without it being you ripping her heart out. And it's not fair. Like, it's just fundamentally so unfair. The situation is just, I'm like angry on your behalf by how unfair this situation is. Now, in this situation, like, you know, if it were one thing, if she were making the simple request and there hadn't been all these other issues about H and about her basically controlling every aspect of your relationship with A, and she just wanted to stop non-monogamy because the reasons that you started non-monogamy were because of the sexual incompatibility, you know, then I might ask you to examine the reasons that you went into non-monogamy and be really honest about them. Because the thing is that the whole reason for you need to get rid of A because A reminds her of her inability to please you. And I just think that you need to be really, really honest about this. You did go into non-monogamy, seemingly, unless there's something you haven't included here, because she didn't want to have sex with you in the way that you wanted. Like, you have a base level incompatibility. And I know that it sucks, and I know that it's going to be a source of insecurity for a lot of people, but sometimes people are at a base level incompatible, and the only thing that you can do is either break up, or you can choose to make some compromises. And this is a subject in terms of sex, you know, where you can make compromises by opening up your relationship. And I don't think it necessarily has to be about incompatibility. It doesn't have to be like your wife wasn't enough. It's about the fact that for whatever reason, she wasn't interested in having sex. And rather than pressuring her or, you know, making the situation into something that you would resent, you both agreed to something else. And she also had other encounters, it sounds like, not just with H, but maybe with other people. So, you know, the kind of trigger for it, even if you don't necessarily believe she's completely and utterly, you know, not good enough or anything like that, the trigger for it was very much that you wanted to have sex with other people. And if you revisit that and say, well, our connection isn't really, you know, what I need yet, So I don't want to end my relationships with other people. And I think that's totally and completely valid. And it's not fair after all of this stuff. Like, I am, quite frankly, I'm surprised that A is still hanging around. Because if anyone asked me to pause our relationship for somebody else for 5 months, and I was being jerked around like this, and my partner had to, like, text someone every time we moved, and then, oh, now you, they can't spend money on me, or we can't, like, I would have dumped you, quite honestly, a long time ago, because I wouldn't be okay with someone who's not involved in the relationship dictating my relationship. So I'm surprised A has held on for this long, given the push-pull of this. So it's just not fair. Like, and you've demonstrated that she's a priority over you. You've already demonstrated that, and yet it feels like her level of anxiety, and I totally understand her level of anxiety, and I don't blame her for having it, and I don't think she's a horrible person, but there's a thing about anxiety where if you give it an inch, it will take a mile. And this is one of the reasons why I really advise people to sit with their discomfort when they're in polyamorous situations. Sit with that and don't immediately start creating rules around it. Sit with it, go through it, know that you'll survive. Because if you just, you know, I found it's very similar to the anxiety that I've felt in other situations in my life when I've had compulsions and when I've been like, oh, you know, I've created, you know, these fears in my head that, oh, I can't do this thing or something horrible will happen. And the minute I fed into that and I stopped doing that thing, it just more things would be added to that list. Oh, now I can't do this because something horrible will happen. Oh, now I can't do this because something horrible would happen. Feeding my anxiety or validating it never made it go away. It only just helped it grow. And I think that because you've complied with these rules, it's only just fed her anxiety. She's only allowed her anxiety to continue to grow because it's just growing and growing. Like, at first, you know, you only can see her a certain number of times a month, then you have a curfew, then you know, and I don't know at what point these rules were all in effect or whether they were all in effect all at the same time, but now you can't even talk about her because, you know, it tears out her heart every time you talk about her. It's, or go out to lunch with her. Like, it's growing and growing, and she's never really going to be satisfied unless she either addresses this anxiety and learns how to cope with it with whatever therapist she has, or until you break up with A. Like, unfortunately, she's putting you in that position. And you, throughout this whole letter, like, you're trying to be a good partner and you're trying to prioritize her, and you're like, it's so sad because she's not doing that for you in this situation. You know, the only time when she's actually prioritizing you is when you don't even ask for it. And she's making herself into a martyr for a cause that no one asked her to be a martyr for. So it's not a fair situation. And unfortunately, I don't, unless your wife decides to address her anxiety, I don't know is that there is a situation where everything's going to work out fine. I think that you need to put your foot down and prioritize yourself. Okay? Stop prioritizing her. Stop prioritizing the marriage and prioritize yourself. You are happy with A. You have this great connection with her. And it's not so much about choosing A over your wife. It's about saying to your wife, I want to be in a non-monogamous relationship. I want to continue my relationship with A. I will not be dumping A at your request. I will not be, and I don't think you should, I will no longer be allowing you to dictate the time that I spend with A and when I can. Obviously, I'll try and work with our schedules and make sure that I give you enough time, but you will not be dictating to me at what times I can or can't be with A. And I will work with you to rebuild our sexual connection. I will work with you to rebuild our trust. I'll work with you to rebuild whatever we need to rebuild. But I'm not going to get rid of this relationship to do that because I don't believe I need to do that. I don't believe that A is preventing me or preventing you from actually working through this. You may be feeling insecure about A, you may be feeling challenged about the situation with A, and we can work through that, but I'm not going to react to your insecurity around it by dumping someone that I care about. And I think you can totally do that. You can still continue to support her, and you have supported her. All the times that you've been with A, you have consistently demonstrated that you care about her, even when it has been unfair to you and unfair to A, and I don't think you should do that anymore. But I do think you can say, I'm absolutely willing to stay in this relationship with you. I'm absolutely willing to make sure that I give you the energy that this needs in order to work. It's not about prioritizing one relationship over another, because that's really just weird. Like, I mean, imagine if, you know, you were tending a sick cousin or something like that. Like, would you be thinking about, oh, I have this sick cousin, but I need to prioritize my marriage? Human relationships don't work that way. Like, and it's just weird and competitive to be like, yeah, I have this other relationship, but my wife is more important than anything else. Like, that's just not how humans work. We care more about the people that we have relationships with than random people we see off the street at certain points, you know, but I just feel like even those cut and dry situations are like, you know, anyone who forces you to choose, that's not a good thing. And she shouldn't be forcing you to choose. And if she's using exact language like you described about saying that basically if you cared about her, you'd dump A. Like, that's just not fair. That's absolutely, completely unfair. And whatever couples therapist you're working with, if she's saying that while a couples therapist is in the room with you and the couples therapist is not saying anything about that, then you need to fire that person and find a new one. Because that is fundamentally horrible. I mean, it's emotional blackmail. Like, absolutely, no. So yeah, to sum up, yeah, this is an incredibly unfair situation, and I'm sorry that you're in this situation, because it's really shitty. I think that A is absolutely not disposable, and you shouldn't treat her like that. And if anything, your wife should know what it feels like to have to feel like you have to dump someone even though you never asked for that. And the biggest kind of message of that I have for you is that rather than prioritizing your marriage, you need to prioritize yourself. You need to secure your own mask before you start putting on everyone else's mask, and figure out what it is that you want and put your foot down and say, like, no. And if that's not a tolerable situation for your wife, like, I understand, like, you know, yes, it's going to feel shitty when, you know, your partner and you have an incompatibility. I mean, I've had similar situations with my domestic partner where I'm not a big party person and my domestic partner is a big party person, and it took me a long time to not feel inadequate. It took me a long time to not be scared that my partner would chuck me and leave me for someone who loved parties too. And I understand that, and she's allowed to feel those feelings, but just because she feels those feelings doesn't mean that A needs to be thrown out, you know, and chucked out. Like, that's not how you handle that. You can be absolutely willing to work through her feelings with her, absolutely willing to reassure her, but I wouldn't dump A, especially not in this situation. And I would actually stop doing all of these things. Like, I would absolutely refuse to allow someone else to tell me how often I could see someone else. Like, it's one thing if you were going out with A all the time and she said, hey, I don't see you as often as I'd like to see you and it's really hurting me. That's one thing. But she can't dictate to you the number of times you're allowed to see someone per month. You're not a child. You don't have a curfew. And I don't think you should put up with that anymore, let alone dumping A. Like, absolutely not. So yeah, I'm sorry, I'm kind of very frustrated on your behalf. It just seems like you've you've done so much. You've bent over backwards for this person, and then they have the audacity to say to you that you need to dump this person or else you don't care about me. Like, wow, that's horrible. Yeah, and I'm really sorry again that you're in this situation. But yeah, I don't think you should get rid of A. I think you should put your foot down, figure out what your wants and needs are. I think you know what they are. Put your foot down, and unfortunately if it means that, you know, your wife can't be with you anymore, then maybe that is the way that things should be, unfortunately, because, you know, someone who clearly isn't prioritizing you, I don't know if it's worth it, to be honest. Even I know it seems hard because you put 10 years of your life into this situation, but don't do something for a sunken cost fallacy. And that's, look that up. It's basically the idea that, like, you've already put so much into this, you have to keep putting things into it. Like, okay, 10 years, that's a long time, but just as I said in the beginning of this episode, didn't even mean for it to be necessarily related to the letter today, but just because you've known someone for longer doesn't mean that they have your best interests at heart. So yeah, I hope this helps, and good luck. Thank you again for listening to Non-Monogamy Help. Just if you want to be awesome, another reminder, you can donate to the Patreon. Donating $5 or more means that your name, with your permission, will be read at the end of the podcast. And I'm going to do that now for those lovely people. This week's current patrons' names are Laura Boylan, Chris Albury Jones, Duke, and James Wartell. If for whatever reason you can't become a Patreon because life happens, you can take 5 minutes to log into iTunes, find the podcast, and rate and review it. That would be also really helpful. It helps me get the podcast out there to new people. If you don't want to write a review, that's absolutely fine. Just do a rating. I would appreciate it either way. So yeah, if you have 5 minutes to spare, just pop onto iTunes, Apple, whatever, Apple Podcasts. Just please, please rate and review. So yeah, that's all for this week. You will get a new column next Friday and another podcast episode in a fortnight. Thank you so much for listening. And last but not least, so sorry for the background noise. Bye-bye. You've been listening to Non-Monogamy Help. Our podcast music has been provided by Chris Albury Jones at albury-jones.com, and the art was made by Dom Jung at domdung.com. Thank you for listening.